Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, and we look forward to this evening broadcast. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother Richard. Glad to be here again.
Amen. Amen to that. And good evening, Brother Cox.
Well, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Greetings from a rainy Oklahoma City.
Ooh. That's a blessing in itself. Wish we had some of that rain here, but maybe we'll get some in a day or two. And so, well, men, looking forward to the evening broadcast. I'll be tuned in, and I'll sure let you know when your callers come on.
All right. Thank you, sir. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to the website, deliveranceusa.com, and just about everything that's talked about on this show, night in and night out throughout the years, a couple years we've been on, coming up on three, and almost everything's there, the prayers, the door closing prayer, the breaking ungodly soul ties, training videos, testimonies, all laid out there on that website there for you to get to have at your disposal. Or also you can get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. If you don't have it, get a hold of him and he'll certainly get it out to you. Good evening, Pastor. I will rejoice because this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen. And another exciting full day. I had a deliverance today, so I'm on my usual high. Every time I have a ministry session, it seems like I'm on a high for several days. And you know, there's really no letdown from it. It's a spiritual high, and praise God, it sure feels good. Kind of interesting, I got another hit demon up today. You know, normally I only get those up in about one out of three people. When I minister, they're there in everyone, but some people just aren't real sensitive to the spirit world. But I've actually gotten five in a row up, four last week and one this week, and that's kind of surprising. So, but it's really great when I do because it's very efficient, and I can find out if we missed any doors, you know, being closed, and any assignments that haven't been canceled, and find out about infirmities and so on. And it certainly worked well today. We already have 18 on the list for next Monday. You know, we didn't meet Labor Day Monday, so they're piling up already. I think we could easily break 20 or more, 25 maybe, on the 10th of September. So how's your life, brother?
It's going well. I knew about the four. Didn't know about the fifth one. You sent me a text, let me know you had four, and I was rejoicing right along because I know that that was four people who had been set free. And I just whenever Pastor gives me an update on some of the ones he's done, and he always likes to let me know when he gets the head demon up, because I do know that that makes things easier for him. And he was kind of telling his stories there, because kind of a brag in the Lord, but he was also telling me how many fish he caught too. So.
Well, right. They often come in the same email, don't they?
Yes, yes, they do. And I was definitely enjoying hearing that, getting the kind of the play-by-play there. And for you all that up there that's maybe new to the program, you don't understand what the head demon technique is. It's just a technique that did someone teach that to you, Pastor, or did you kind of come up with that on your own?
Well, I picked up on it from a deliverance ministry that was doing it in Idaho right at 20 years ago. And I'd started using the basics of it, kind of tweaking here and there as I did cases. And I guess maybe 8 or 10 of our ministers are using the head demon technique. We teach the basic, which is just working the list that the people have circled, their problem areas that they know they have and would like to see gone. And that works fine. I mean, you can set thousands of people free with just the basics. But it often takes longer, and if I can get the head demon up, then I don't have to work the list. And it's also very efficient because I can learn things by interrogating the demon as a prisoner of war, the head demon, once I get hold of it. I went through three today before I got to the head demon. The big guy often pushes a junior out first, hoping you'll settle for that one as a head demon. So they're pretty good at hiding. Anyway, finally got it, which was intimidation in this case. And, gosh, it worked really well, and found out he was also involved in causing the infirmities with this lady. And so we got all that canceled out. There was a curse coming through her mother's side, a three-generation curse, and so forth. So it went really well. Maybe she'll be on the show one of these days.
Oh, praise the Lord. And as he was kind of explaining there, this is just an example of what Jesus did himself. We could see that Jesus often interrogated and spoke directly to the demons that were oppressing people. And he got information from him. I think probably the most famous or the most common one that people know is when he actually was interrogating the Gethsemane demoniac there at the graves. And he was demanding how many were there, and he told him how many were there. And these are some of the things that Pastor's done. I've done myself. I haven't had near the amount of experience that Pastor has, but I've actually had a couple of head demons for the manifest to you. It just makes it a lot easier, because these demons can manifest and come out one-on-one. Sometimes people remember it, sometimes they don't. But it definitely is an example laid out in Scripture. It's very scriptural. And I would imagine that there was probably a little bit more than just the words laid down in Scripture that went on, but that was enough for the Holy Spirit to give us. And as an example.
And a good point to make, Ralph, I think, is that we all know that the demons are inherent liars, and so you have to keep saying to them as you interrogate them, when they tell you something, say back to them, "Will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit?" And they'll say yes or no to that. So you can find out if they're lying, and if I catch them lying, then I use the angels, which they can see, this case today, saw a number of warring angels around, circled around us, and I'll often have the demon even point out the meanest looking angel, and have it point, and it'll take the person's hand and point up, and I'll assign that warring angel directly to discipline with the sword as it might be needed. But once you've had the angels jab them a few times, they typically will kind of straighten up. I never had to use the swords. I had the demon, angels actually pressure the tips of their swords on the spiritual body of intimidation, and it got a little slow in talking, and they start talking right away after that. So it's really neat to have our warring angels at our backs as we move into the spiritual warfare. Praise God for it.
Yes, they're definitely a weapon in a Christian's arsenal that we have at our disposal, the warring angels. It's talked about often in scriptures and laid out in Hebrews 1:14. Am I right? 1:14? And
Hebrews 1:14, right.
Yeah, they're right there at our disposal. And even in Psalms 91, telling we'd have angels at our charge. So this is a scriptural thing, that there are certain angels that are assigned to help us, and we can call them down to do a lot of that work in the spiritual, help back up our commands when they want to be stubborn and don't want to listen or don't want to obey. But it's a fantastic thing. Another thing that we've seen when they had demon techniques, when they don't want to listen, you can stab them with your Bible, because your Bible is a sword. It's a fiery sword.
Yeah.
God. And I know pastors talked before. He's heard some say, "Not the sword." And they give you the sword of the Lord, and they go, "Not the sword." And you can actually, I've seen them jump when you take the sword and stab them.
It in their stomach area.
I've also seen them say they can't stand anointing oil.
Yes.
They don't.
I've had them say it's burning. It's burning. You know, when you're anointing the person. Another weapon of warfare.
Yes, it is. Anointing oil, and also they don't like it when we pray in the spirit and speak at them in the heavenly language of the tongue, and our tongues. So these are all weapons at our disposal. When Jesus told us to go out and cast out demons, he definitely didn't send us out unarmed. And that's what deliverance here. That's what we try to teach you, the boot camp of it. And, of course, the head demon techniques, more kind of like the special forces, but it is available to learn. It's laid out in the book, and I believe it's on the website as well, the training techniques, and it really cuts down on time and makes it a lot easier out there. So if you have any questions regarding that, just let us know at info@deliveranceusa.com, and someone will get back to you on that. So, Pastor,
well, amen.
I wanted to read a scripture tonight, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
All right. Colossians 1:13, "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins." And when we were rescued out of that darkness and transferred into his kingdom, we were given authority. And what is that authority? It says right here in 15, "He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things are created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." And this is part of that transfer. When we transferred out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, we operate now as ambassadors of Jesus, and we are given certain authorities there, all power and authority by Jesus to operate against these things. And I just want to really point out the visible and invisible. And the invisible is that demonic and spiritual realm. So we do have the authority, and when I saw that tonight, I was like, the Holy Spirit told me I needed to read that. So, Pastor, we have our first caller, Crystal. Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Crystal. I'm so glad you called in. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Well, Ralph's on here as a co-host up in Missouri, and I'm so excited you called. I know you have an interesting testimony. concerning your daughter and her friends. And so why don't you just go ahead? We got 10 minutes to talk and give a little quick background on yourself, if you could, and then move right on in as to what the situation was with your daughter.
Okay. About myself, where I live, what I do.
You're a teacher.
Yes, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher at a private Christian school.
Yes. And my daughter happens to work there with you, and she loves it.
Yes, it's a great place to be, and I have a daughter that's in college.
Yeah.
And I have a son.
Go ahead and tell
I have two
about
children.
What was, great. Yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead and share about your daughter, renting this house and her friends.
Well, yes. My daughter is renting a house on a college campus with three other girls. And they recently moved in and started having things happen in their house that they had noticed. Do you want me to tell you what was happening?
Sure.
Okay. They were having cabinets opening, just turning their back. Well, they were closed, turning their back. All the cabinets were open. Clock on the stove going backwards. Dishes in the dishwasher rattling, things that were missing that were found placed in just various places that they would not have put things, just placed in not like random they had fallen ways, but just carefully placed in certain formations and cups flying off the counter, different noises. I didn't know whether to believe it or not till I took my dog one night and went and stayed the night. And she's an older dog, but very calm, but she growled the entire night under her breath and wouldn't stop. And probably the final straw was when her friend, they wouldn't sleep in their own beds because they were all completely terrified. And when her friend, when she was sleeping in bed beside her, felt like she was being suffocated during the night, and they woke up and she said, "Mom, it was just so scary." So we just knew we had to do something to fix this.
Yes. And it just so happens Marla knew someone.
Yes, she knew you. And thankfully, he took the time to come and spend some time with them and help them.
Marla, by the way, is my daughter, one of my daughters, and she and I both went with Crystal down to the house. So maybe you could take it from there some more.
About what you did?
Yeah, just
yes.
What we did.
Yes, and, they came to the house, and only one of the girls was there because the other two had class that evening and weren't able to be there, which I wish they could have been there. But so he came, and Marla came, and we went in the kitchen and with my daughter and her other roommate, and they both prayed with, and I prayed with the two girls, and they repeated things that you had told them to, and then anointed all the parts in the house where they had activities happening, and then gave them, were they prayer cloths?
Right.
Or that they put under their mattress.
And even other places.
Yes,
quite a few down to just spread around everywhere. Kind of like spiritual hand grenades. They're in Acts 19:11-12, where Paul had certain handkerchiefs that were anointed, and wherever they were placed, demons would flee and healing would come. And so we've used them for many years as spiritual hand grenades that the enemy does not like. So
And I love how you all told the girls that they were equipped with the name of Jesus, and that was their tool to use when they felt fear. And I love the way you prayed over my daughter and just gave her peace. And just since that night, they have not had anything that's happened in their house. So, they haven't had anything that they had experienced happen again.
Praise God. And
they still have moments where their fear kind of takes them back, and I just remind my daughter, just remember, you've got the best weapon. Just say the name Jesus, and they don't like that. So, and I don't know that I had mentioned that their landlord was lead guitarist in a band that was just not the best kind of band. So we just don't know what happened in that house prior to the girls living there.
Yes, that's kind of what we figured. There might have been some witchcraft taking place there or something along those lines. But basically what we did was, I have a chapter in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, on exercising houses and buildings or land. And that's basically what we did, was that checklist. And well, that's an exciting report, and we prayed over your daughter some about the fear, and she seemed to accept it pretty well. And like you said, instructed them, if nothing else, say the name of Jesus. The enemy tends to back off with that big time. Praise God.
Yes, for sure. And I think just reminding them of that in the situation that was happening was not a good situation, but it was a great learning experience for them and a reminder of the tools that they need to use in all circumstances, not just in that situation, but with everything that they'll encounter. So good definitely came out of that, for sure.
Even on TV now, on cable TV, you see some of these situations where the paranormal people have come in and they just try to take pictures of the spirits and things moving, whatever. But all they're doing is showing that there's spirits there. Well, the ones in the house already knew that. They don't do anything toward getting rid of them. And so the key would be to get hold of a deliverance minister that knows about this kind of thing and spiritual warfare, and to deal with it in Jesus' name.
Yes, for sure. And they did. They didn't need anyone. One of their roommates wanted someone to come in, but they knew that there was something there. We just needed it gone. We're so thankful, and we appreciate you and Marla taking the time and doing that, because definitely a great testimony.
Well, it's our ministry, Crystal. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight. It was a great testimony, and we'll encourage others that are having those kind of problems to seek out someone that understands the spiritual warfare. God bless you.
Yes, and they'll for sure have a testimony to tell, all of them, just from this experience. So
yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night.
Night.
It's, that is a thing that does happen. I've been in houses that's happened. I've been in businesses that's happened. I've been in homes in my 20s where we would joke about all the time, oh, that must be the ghost again. And lights would come on, lights would go off. We'd see people that weren't there. Cabinets would open. We wouldn't be able to find something. We'd be able to find it later. But at that time in my life, I just kind of laughed it off and didn't know any better. When I hear these things, and when you out there Christians hear it, don't doubt it, because this isn't people losing their mind. This is a demonic realm. Spirits messing with them, and it's a very easy thing to take care of, because just like Crystal, Effort, myself, the girls living there, we all have the same authority. We have all the same authority. It's not, okay, I've given some authority to Everett and a little bit of authority to Ralph and a little bit of authority to this person. They give us all authority. And so it was an equal transference upon those who operate in the name of Jesus. Pastor, we have Mark on the line. Thank you for calling, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Hello?
Yeah, Mark. Thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Hello.
And I know you have a lot to share, and so why don't you go ahead and move into it. Mark is up in Kansas, and move into giving some history on yourself, if you would. Whoops.
I think we lost Mark, so we'll just see if he calls right back in.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
To get into it there.
Yeah, let's try this. Mark, do we have you again?
I'm here now.
All right. You're on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you loud
and clear.
Hello?
Mark, Ralph is on here in Missouri. He's the co-host with me, and then Richard just answered in the control room when you first called. But go ahead again, and if you could, give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you learned.
Here we now Crystal was just fine. Boy, Mark is they're coming against him, aren't they? Let's try it again here. Here we are. Mark, we have you again. Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can, yes. Go right ahead.
Every time I say hello, it disappears somehow. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give history on yourself, Mark, and when you were born again, and how you learned about
Hello?
Deliverance, and then the experiences there in Kansas. Go ahead.
Mark, can you hear us? You're on.
Yes, I can hear you, but you seem to not be able to hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Just go right ahead.
Okay, we got it working now.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, hey, what's up? I just came in and didn't really hear the last lady speaking there, but I knew she was talking about cleaning out a house or something.
Yes, yes. And it was a great testimony of a recent exorcism of a house down by a college campus. go ahead and give history on yourself, if you would, Mark, and when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance, and then experiences you'd like to share.
I think the system's working. It must be on his end, the phone, just maybe not. I'll see if we can bring him in on another line if he calls back. And let's try
this. Wow.
Mark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here again.
Okay, that's on a different line on our end, so maybe that'll work. Can you hear Pastor Cox?
Not yet.
Well, go ahead, Pastor Cox.
Yeah, Mark, here I...
There, now I can hear you.
Mark. All right, cool.
And I lost you.
Well, I don't know if you heard what I was saying to go ahead and do, but history on yourself when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance, and then experiences you'd like to share.
Okay, I just heard the tail end of that. For some reason, your voice cuts in and out, but I hear the other guy.
All right, I'll back away from the microphone here. Can you hear me,
Mark,
okay?
Mark, can you hear me all right? Pastor, it sounds like we're having some problems here because he's not answering you or me. How about we just go in the power of agreement real quick?
Mark?
Yes.
You guys are cutting in and out on me. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Well, go ahead anyway and give that history and when you were born again and experiences and deliverance.
So, Mark, are you there?
Hey, hello? Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, Mark, what he's saying is go ahead and give your history, your experiences, yeah, when you were born again. We can hear you fine here.
Okay. So, I was raised in a Christian family, and I had struggled finding the faith myself, and finally in seventh grade, I asked a teacher at Sunday school about could it be possible that Noah's Ark was a real story, and the teacher had said, well, it's not real important that it be real, that it tells us about God, and that we would take it as just an allegory. And so I kind of walked into that seventh grade class a seeker and walked out an atheist. And then I stayed an atheist until I was, it had been 1992, so probably 28 years old. I was 30 years old. Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then what happened right after that? I got saved, baptized, and then first book somebody gave me to help disciple me was a Frank Peretti novel. And I was about 30 pages into that thing and was scared to death and didn't know whether to believe in demons or the things in the book. And then not long after that, I started having strange things happen to me, and I couldn't tell at first whether it was my imagination or whether I imagined that something from the book was happening to me, but eventually, within a few days, it became obvious that there was something strange going on, and it started out as choking, like trying to be choked out, like I was being killed, and then ran into situations where I was having heavy weights, like just terribly heavy weight on my chest. I couldn't breathe, like my heart was going to stop, and happened for several weeks that way, and what I learned kind of through trial and error was just to call out to Jesus and it would go away. And finally got to the point that I saw shifty black forms in my bedroom at night, and eventually after several weeks of calling on Jesus, those things quit for me, and that would have been in 1994. And then nothing's really happened until this summer. And so what happened between 1994 and this summer was that we adopted two children, and they are now 16 and 17 years old. And the behavior of them has always been complicated and difficult to understand, and a real challenge from a parenting standpoint. And normal books and normal natural parenting processes just did not work very well. We tried medications and all kinds of things. But anyway, it was difficult, and but it really got hard then in 2016 when my wife at that time had died of colon cancer. And so the three of us were left, and we fought grief and loneliness and depression and all those kinds of things that happen after an event like that. And the kids just spiraled. It just seemed like the last 6 months especially really spiraled downward. And it got more crazy and violent and cursing and all kinds of things that I'd never seen either of them do before. And in one particular case, my daughter, who spent a lot of time in Awanas and Sunday school and VBS, who has memorized huge sections of scripture, always tender and kind and loving, started cussing me out. And so in one of those times where she was cussing me out, I didn't know what the situation was about. So I said, "Get behind me, Satan, and come out of her." And my daughter looked at me with kind of a sneer and said, "It doesn't work that easy," and smiled and walked away. And that kind of left me with chills. And then a similar situation a couple weeks later happened with her again. And so I was talking to a friend, and that friend had said that it was probably a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. And up until that point, I had not even thought about the battle that I'd had myself back in 94. And so anyway, this friend offered a book title to me called Pigs in the Parlor. And I ordered that night, and it came a few days later, and I started reading it. And I got a few chapters into it and decided I was going to try to attack this. And on June 26th, I started that battle. And the first day was quite eventful. We had manifestations, and my daughter was choked, and we thought she was actually going to die at one point. It was pretty rough. But each demon would come up, and we'd cast them out, and then another one would come up, and it got progressively harder and harder as the demons started out at anger and got all the way up to the point where we could not remove the final one. And at that point, my daughter says she heard a trumpet call, and then Jesus Christ arrived, and I didn't see him, but she did, and he cleaned it out, and then sat and talked to us for a couple hours, and talked to me specifically
Praise
for 30
God.
Minutes that night, and told me what the battle was to be about, and why the battle was here now, that the kids had had these spirits since the conception, and that it was a result of the birth family's sins and curses, and that we had not known about it nor could have acted upon it because it was veiled to us. And so now was the time both to train me and also to free the kids. And he said it'd be a tough battle and a long battle, and that would not be something that would be enjoyable, of course, but was going to be necessary for their faith. And at that point, I begged to take it. And I didn't want the kids to be hurt. And he told me no, just like I've had to have my struggles in life to build my faith, they were going to have to also, and there was no way for them to have me take that. So anyway, he promised me that they would not physically be harmed, but they would have a battle that would last a while, and eventually they would win it. And so that was how we started this. And so I heard about Everett and his ministry, I would say probably the second week of August. And I think I called him shortly thereafter and talked on the phone for a while, because what I was doing was I was getting demons to leave and my kids to be freed up, and things would go good for a day or two, and then things would return back to the way it was and even worse. So where we struggled with violence and destruction, and anger, those kinds of things. Every time we cycled through it, it got more dangerous and more violent and more scary. And I assumed I was doing something wrong. And, I blamed myself and blamed some kind of protection that I didn't have for them, something like that. And Everett talked to me on the phone for, I think, about an hour and a half and suggested I come down to Oklahoma City and work with his people. And so we did that on August 20th, and so I took them down, and my kids and I all went through separately with different ministering people down there to help us work through all the closing of doors and removing of demons, and it went real well. It went great, actually. And I had used the Pigs in the Parlor book on myself also on the night that Christ had come to us and spoke to us on the 26th of June. There were some things that I was struggling with. One of them was a failure of a father, and depression and desperate, and a couple other ones I forget that are related. I wrote them all down, but I forget at the moment. And he removed all those from me and prepared me for the fight and told me the main demons that my children had by name, and then how to pray. He gave me a list of about a dozen words to pray into their life, and then to battle them by name that way. So that's how we started, and then we ended up in Oklahoma City, and came home, and things went well. The kids were freed, and things were just going really well. And then within a few days, it showed back up again. And Everett's been on the text and also on the phone with me, helping me try to understand what's going on. And what has happened is the kids have, both of them have not wanted to have them leave at times. So they'll be tempted back, allow this back into their life. And so then we cycle back through the battle again, and of course each time it gets more dangerous. So we had another battle yesterday that was scary, and the last couple weeks that were again scarier and more stepped up and more violent than previous times. And what
they bought into the
lies was exactly what I was told in prayer back about the first part of August, which was that the problem is the kids are choosing these demons instead of choosing Jesus, that they did not trust him, and he was working through this process to try to build trust so that they would walk away from these demons and trust him fully. And so that process is still going. Tonight, things are going well, and they're on the side of wanting Jesus. Now, the reason that they go back and forth,
praise the Lord,
as I've interviewed them and talked to them and tried to understand what's going on, is they're tempted. They appear to my kids. Both of them see these spirits and see them just like anybody sees physical objects. I don't see anything and I don't hear anything, but they do. And they're tempted by these spirits to either provide things or they're promised things. For instance, one day my daughter's in a class called Faith Bible Institute. It's 3 years through the scriptures, and they have weekly tests and also daily homework. And she got nervous about the test coming up, and these demons appeared to her in a nice, friendly way, gentle and not scary, the same old friends that she's known since conception, and told her that if she would take them back, they would give her the answers to the next test. And so she accepted that. And I didn't know about it, of course. And later that day, she said something to me that was a lie, which when they're clean, they don't tend to lie. When they've got some kind of a spirit in them, telling the truth is very difficult. So anyway, she had said a lie to me about something, and I started watching her, and I could see just the telltale signs on her face, and also she tends to get a leg that twitches when the demons are confronted. And so I'm standing there looking at her, and apparently the demons either get nervous or they manifest, I don't know which, and I started to notice those signs again. So I asked her why she lied to me, and then she told me. She told me what the problem was. So it seems to be free will that they go back and forth, and each time we have a harder battle and a more deeper commitment to Jesus. I honestly don't know how long it'll be until they decide to finish this battle and be done with it. So it's not that they appear to them scary until they're with Christ. And when they're with Christ, then the demons are scary, physically scary and threatening. And when they're proposing some kind of a temptation to accept them back, then the demons are friendly and nice. And my daughter just said they're pleasant. And for both the kids, they first appeared as imaginary friends. My son would sit in his bedroom and talk to somebody sitting there as if he was talking to another child. And we tried to talk him out of an imaginary friend all those years. And his name was Bob. And then Bob was followed by Jerry, or added to by Jerry, and then there were other names that came later. So as the years went by, the imaginary friends grew into these scary, controlling spirits that the kids trusted. So even though they were born-again believers, baptized in church and studying Scripture and listening to the good kind of music and protected from bad movies and bad books and never touched a Ouija board and all the kinds of things that other children get into, we were real protective about those things. But when they arrived with the kids, then they were friendly and just part of life. And so that's what we're battling, is to try to remove that and demonstrate that it's bad for them, and it always leads to death and destruction and not a good place. So that's kind of where we are tonight. And
well, maybe
questions?
Maybe at some point they'll get tormented enough that they'll finally renounce and rebuke them.
Yeah, Mark, we're here.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Everett keeps cutting out. I can hear the other person.
Okay. Yeah, Everett had said that maybe they'll come to a point where they'll get tormented enough that I think he was going to say that they'll want to get rid of that.
Yeah, you would think what we've been through that they would have been tormented enough. For me, back in 1994, it did not take near what these kids have gone through. But yet they still struggle with it. And so it seems to be a choice and a free will. And now when they're consumed or filled or however the word is, they are ugly and cursing and blasphemous and mocking and say all kinds of evil and terrible things to me, trying to convince me that my faith is worthless. They'll tell me there is no Jesus, there never was a God, I'm a fool, just all kinds of amazing lies that if I didn't know what I knew, would probably work. But none of those lies have ever caused me to stumble or question. And
They're buying into the lie program.
These questions or these comments from them, or these lies, I guess is what we typically call them, is I remind them of what I know of Scripture. And so I'll counter every lie with the Scripture, or remind them, yesterday I was told I was going to be killed and destroyed and all kinds of things, and I just looked at my daughter and I said, you can't touch me. I've been protected and anointed, and you know that. And eventually it admitted that it did know that.
Praise God.
They've tried for weeks now to tell me that they were going to kill me and stab me with things, and not the kids.
Great time for Luke 10:19.
Spirits are going to do that, and the kids see them. So they'll be standing beside me or behind me, and they'll see these demons trying to hurt me. And
right.
And in my mind, there's no fear because I know that Scripture promises us that I'm protected. And also,
amen.
When Christ came to me there in late June, he said that we would not be harmed physically. So
yeah.
I'm not scared of it.
Amen. You know, Mark, Pastor had commented, I guess I just have to be the go-between here.
Going to have to be the way to do it.
A great place, he said, for Luke 10:19. You know, behold,
yes.
I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you.
Well, it's really funny because I just love Everett, and when we talked on the phone the first time, he was questioning me, and I was telling him what I'd been going through and the kind of help I thought I might need, and he said something to the effect of, now he's from Oklahoma and I'm from Kansas, so we tend to speak similar language. He said, son, are you born again? I said, yes. And he said, do you believe Jesus? And I said, yes. He said, do you believe Scripture is true? And I said, yes. He says, do you think A-L-L means all? I was like, yeah.
Yes.
So he gave me the verse, and from then on, I've not questioned any of that authority. It's a great verse for understanding our authority. I have yet to fully comprehend how major and powerful that is. I know that it's plenty powerful enough for whatever minions and demons have come to battle us, but I don't know the true extent of how big and powerful that promise to believers is. I'm still experiencing that and learning in it every day.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Well, it's certainly a learning experience. And
Everett's voice comes in. Every now and then I'll hear a little clip of it, but I can't hear anything after that.
Goodness.
Okay. Well, you're going to be well-educated. You'll be well-educated.
And I don't again. So somehow his line and my line are going in and out.
Yeah, it's that Kansas-Oklahoma thing. But
he had
said that it's certainly a learning experience, and that you'll be well-educated in going through this.
Well, it's not necessarily the kind of thing that every believer says they want to learn about, but I can say that most of my faith walk since 1994 has been both hard at times and easy at times and unpredictable all the time. I never knew what was coming or what I was going to learn, and we never imagined that we would have cancer come to our family and deal with the grief of that. We never imagined that we would be infertile and unable to have children. We never imagined that we would be given two infants. We helped deliver the two babies at the hospital a year apart. We never imagined we would adopt. There's just been a whole list of things in our lives in the last 24 years that I never imagined. And learning about casting out demons and freeing up my kids, it was definitely not something that was on my list of things I thought we would cover. When I was down there in August and spoke with Everett, he asked if I was going to train and learn how to do this back in Kansas. And I would say I'm a reluctant participant. It's not something that I think a lot of us feel that we would want to participate in, a daily battle like this. But I've learned that whatever God does and whatever God wants is what I'll end up doing. So I'm open to whatever comes. I have a lot to learn, I know. And I mentioned the Pigs in the Parlor book, and Everett's book is actually significantly better in the details of how to handle this kind of a situation. And so I wish I'd have gotten his book first. I probably could have gotten these doors closed and things that he talks about in his book that are not specifically listed in the same way in the Pigs in the Parlor book.
Amen.
So it's an excellent book, and the materials we picked up there, both the sheets and the cards and the prayer reminders and all the things that were handed out to us at the deliverance meeting, we use those on a daily basis to not only attack with prayer, but also to be encouraged with the verses. And he's got a one card that's got a really nice list of blessings that is phenomenal, all the things that Christians are blessed with. And that's a great list to pray through, and I prayed that list through for the kids so that those words and those scriptures would be covering them. And so anyway, Everett's put together not only a good book, but a whole package of materials that has really been helpful.
Oh, amen. Amen. Well, Mark, we're just about out of time.
Okay.
Pastor Cox, I didn't know if we are kind of running out of time, but if there was anything else you wanted me to share with Mark before we go.
Well, just to comment that by what he's learned in going through all this, he will be in a position to help a lot of hurting people around him in Kansas. Very few people know how to help him. He knows a lot now.
Amen. So Mark, didn't know if you caught that, but he said
Yeah, I did.
Did
yeah,
you? Okay, great.
The scary prophecy of everything.
Yes. Yes, amen.
I did have one guy show up here. An old friend I hadn't seen in about 10 years, and he just showed up here one day, and he said he didn't know why he was here. He was on a spiritual journey and just wanted to talk. And that led to follow-up phone calls, and he was being demonized and attacked, and I stopped and I prayed through prayer with him to help him understand the battle and also to be freed up. And he wept on the phone and thanked me over and over again, and we email back and forth occasionally to tell me he's doing well. So that was the first kind of sojourner that walked into my life, and he just showed up.
Just the beginning.
The country.
Yeah, just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
Yeah, my daughter just said at 7:30 in the morning he showed up.
Yeah, awesome.
So we were still in our pajamas, but...
That's right. Well, Mark, thanks so much. I'll say goodnight for Pastor Cox and Ralph. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing and for your testimony.
Thanks for your ministry. Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Everett.
Well, guys, had a bad hum on that, but we sure got through it.
It worked. Yeah. Thanks for doing the relay there.
We did. When you talk to Mark next time, I was going to bring it up, but I don't think he can hear us. Remind him, Pastor, that's not really a prophecy that he needs to be scared of, that you prayed over him. That is the Word of God talking. Read to him the first chapter, 2 Corinthians, where it talks about we're brought comfort in our afflictions so we can afflict others and help others that are afflicted. And
exactly.
That's not a prophecy. That's the Word of God being spoke. And
yes,
and he's learning, he's being trained, and he'll be a valuable tool to help others. and not to operate in that fear. And remember that out there, folks, that we have the big guns. And I know when the affliction comes and we see it, sometimes we don't see that light at the end of the tunnel, but we can stand upon the promise when Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always, and I will never forsake you." That's true. That's the truth. That's the Word of God. And we're told to fear not. And that's just an encouragement that, if you would, Pastor, when you talk to him and remind him those things, because when you're going through it, sometimes you're like, "Oh, I don't see how this is going to happen."
Yes.
But good testimonies. Glad to hear.
Covered a lot of ground.
Yes, we did. And encourage you out there, if you need to, go to deliveranceusa.com. Take a look at it. The blessings there are right there on that website that's talked about. We also carry the I Am Confessionals, which is very, very similar to what Pastor Cox carries. And you can get hand those by getting hold of the Office of Scriptures for America, 307-742-7582. And if you need an I Am Confessional, just let Richard know, and they get those out free of charge. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in this evening. And thank you, callers, for calling in. And we will see everybody next week.
God bless everyone.
God bless.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.